Our next guest is an actor you know from films like The Wolf of Wall Street and Rampage, television series like Vinyl and Big Little Lies, and he may well be our greatest living actor, P.J. Byrne, back with us on Downtown. Hello, P.J.
What's up? That's the greatest opening and introduction I've ever heard in my life. I will only do this show for the rest of my life. Thank you so much. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Busy. I'm a little late, and I apologize. I'm never late. I apologize.
Well, you got a lot going on here with movies galore and TV series. It's good to be wanted out there in the world.
I can't complain, and I got good friends that keep asking me to come back and work with them. So I always say, if you get a chance to work with friends, that's the best way to go to work every day.
Absolutely. Now, before we get to some of the current stuff, I had some reason in the times you've been on before, I never asked you about this. You went to BC. We have talked about that.
Of course. Yeah,
You were planning to be an investment banker. What happened?
Too much cocaine. Just too much cocaine. I couldn't. No, I'm kidding. No, it's a crazy story, and I'll try to make it brief. But I actually didn't act till my sophomore year of college. A buddy was going out to drink, and he wanted me to come with him. And he's like, I'm going to audition for this show first. But long story short, I got the part, and he didn't. And then faculty saw it, and they're like, you should audition for main stage, and I did that, and then you should double major. But really, I was on track. I was a finance major my whole life because I had a plan of working on Wall Street and doing, you know, back then it was like to be an analyst, to be an investment banker, and now it's like a hedge fund. But essentially, I got the banks come on, they court you, you know, in the fall of your senior year. And I got a great job, and, you know, the power of teachers, this one teacher, Dr. Houchin, who's the head of the program at Boston College, said, PJ, I don't think you should go to Wall Street to do investment banking. I think you should go to grad school to learn how to be a proper actor. And I said, I think you should stop drinking Jack Daniels, because that's insane to me. I mean, it was essentially, he was like telling me, he's like, listen, I don't think you should take a stable job. You should go be a unicorn. Like, that's how crazy it was. But this man stayed on me, and he literally, God bless him, he like filled out my applications for me. He got the recommendations, he did like the paperwork, and really, they, when you go to grad school, it comes down to the audition. You have to do a classical and a contemporary, and he's like, look, this is the paperwork's done, these are the three best schools, they only take 10 kids. If you don't get in, I won't say another word. And obviously, I was so touched by this man, I went and auditioned. And I got into the theater school at DePaul University, and I think my parents wanted to kill him. That's what happened. But it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and now my parents are so happy and proud. But I'll tell you, though, it did help me with The Wolf of Wall Street, because I intimately understood what that movie was about.
Well, yeah, and you knew those people a little bit.
I knew those people very well. I mean, they were the worst form of anyone that I associated with. But, that's not the kind of stuff that I would have gone into. But, I mean, those guys they'll sell their mothers out. And they did. So, I had no problem playing those guys and just making them look like terrible people, because they destroyed, you know, so many people's lives. And what's really horrible is a lot of times those type of, like, you know, I don't even know what to call them. Those con guys, they make new employees go for their family first, because those are the easiest pickings, right? People are like, I got this stock idea, you should get in on it. And like, family members will jump at that because they trust their family member. And unfortunately, those guys took family members down, and then they got really good at their scripts, and they took other people down. And a lot of money was never returned, unfortunately.
No regrets at this point, though, in your career about making that move.
Not at all. Not even a little bit. I'm so happy where I am. I love living in Los Angeles. I get to work with some of the greatest actors and directors and writers in the world. And, you know, I got kids here now in Los Angeles, and being an East Coast guy and, you know, loving going to school in Boston and grad school in Chicago. I genuinely do love Los Angeles. You know, there's always a soft spot in my heart for the East Coast, but we're very happy here, and it's a great city, and it's all, you know, knock on wood, worked out.
Then you were in Green Book, and what was that like? What was the experience? Was it surreal to be there when your film was announced as the Academy Award winner for Best Picture?
No, that's a great day, because, you know, those are difficult movies to make. So, you know, you have two great actors. You got Peter Farrelly that, you know, that really helped champion it. But at the end of the day, a lot of people are afraid to put money into a movie like that. So it was, you know, the little movie that could. And when you saw on the set, when you saw how hard everybody was working and how, you know, everybody believed so much in that movie, those are great days. You know, when you get nominated for the best film and then, you know, you win some awards, that's a magical time. And it's very rare. You know, it's a hard thing to do, and it's a great achievement.
We're talking with PJ Byrne here on Downtown. You've been part of HBO's Big Little Lies. And again, you seem to be the glue, PJ, that holds together these all-star casts.
I mean, they couldn't do these movies without me. I know the other guys get a lot of funding, but the movies wouldn't really be greenlit if it wasn't for me. I get parts. You know, a lot of times I do these small parts, they turn into bigger parts, but they usually turn into building a continuous relationship with everyone involved. So I'm very lucky. You know, I learned that in college and in grad school. You know, I did a movie with The Rock. He always says, be the hardest working person in the room. And I understand that intimately. And I always, you know, if I'm not good looking enough or funny enough, at least no one's going to outwork me. So I come very prepared. I'm very prepared for auditions. And, you know, and now you got two kids. You got to pay for these kids to live in a city and go to school. And they are not cheap. They're not cheap at all.
By the way, speaking of working with The Rock, I was reading something a while back, and another actor commented on his work ethic and the fact that he also has on the set very little tolerance for people who are not giving their best.
I mean, I agree with that. Look, I was never in a scenario where that wasn't the case, because you see he's such a hard worker, and he's juggling so many things and so many businesses, and, you know, he's already been up for like 5 hours before you walk on set, you know, working out. It's crazy. But what I also, I mean, he's an incredibly hard worker, but I truly, what I love most about him, and he's true to his word. He always says this thing. He goes, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And I mean, that's why I love the guy. And I think he feels that on me as well. And just try to be a good, classy person in this business. And I've been very fortunate to work with, you know, great, classy people throughout my career. And, you know, it's just, I tell the students that, like, when I talk to the kids that are coming out of DePaul or Boston College, like it's just every choice you make, just make sure it passes the classy test. And if you can do that, you'll be able to go to bed at night. You know, you'll be able to have a really good life that way.
Our movie reviewer comes on with us every week, and he said, without a doubt, you were the best thing in Countdown.
Oh, well, I thank him. I paid him not a lot, but I did give him some love, and I appreciate it. That was a fun movie. To be honest, that's another little movie that could. And it was another buddy who I worked with, one of the producers on Rampage, John Ricard, gave me a call and said, look, you got to come do this. There's not a lot of money here, but come play with us. And I think we had literally a $6 million budget, which to make a horror movie that's like having $19. And the opening weekend, I think we made like $9 million, and now we're up to probably 20. So it's the little movie that could, and I went and saw it with an audience in the theaters, and they were screaming and howling, and it's everything you wanted from that movie. So I was so happy to be a part of that film.
And I can't wait to see you as Neil Cavuto in Bombshell. When's that scheduled to come out?
I think I think it's early December. I'm pretty sure. I think because they want to line it up for award season, you know, and some of the performances in that film are extraordinary. So I've seen it. It's great. People love it. It's a powerful film. It cooks. It moves along. And I think it's a story people need to know about.
Well, we look forward to that. But I have to ask you this, too. So I've noticed a couple of times recently when I broadcast University of Maine football, we do this little silly thing where we say we're on the search for the best coffee in college football. And I noticed that you've liked that on Twitter. Clearly, are you a coffee fan, a college football fan, or is it just your unending love for me?
Well, all three. Let's check. All of the above. I love you. I adore college football. I went to BC. I think we have a great team. We're always getting better. We had some injuries. You know, Clemson was a little black eye, but, like, you know, we're going to fight back. We don't stop. And also, I live in a place called Silver Lake in Los Angeles, which is the capital of hipster coffee. So if you want a $12 cup of coffee pour over, come on in. We'll take care of you. And I couldn't even make a decision as to what is the best coffee. There, if I was going to bet, and it's in Los Angeles, and there's one by USC, I'm going to get ready. It's the best. I guarantee you it's the best coffee. It's a place called Go Get 'em Tiger. And there's a couple in Los Angeles, and when you're here, you should take a shot at finding one of them because it's great, and they make some great food. And if you want to have an incredible morning, there's a place in Los Feliz. You go eat it, Go Get 'em Tiger. You get your coffee, and then you go next door to a place called Home State, and you have these like morning breakfast tacos, and it's a great morning. And then you can go to the USC game.
That's all I just need the Black Bears to get a game with USC, and I'm good to go. And I'll swing by your place when I'm there.
We'll take you in. We do a lot of Italian Sunday suppers. We're happy to feed you.
Fantastic. We look forward to your work in all your exciting projects. Bombshell coming soon. PJ Byrne, great to have you on with us. Thanks, as always, for making time for us.
My friend, it's always a pleasure. You're the best. Go Maine as well, and I tip my hat to you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, PJ. We'll talk soon.
All right, pal. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
PJ Byrne here on Downtown.